Good morning. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Mem. Yesterday we left off with a discussion of what we established to be machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yaakov about what happens if you have a shor that is owned by either a cheir shot of a katan, somebody who has an apotropos appointed, and that shor gores. So we had said that Rav Yehuda says it's mechayev, and Rav Yaakov says that he pays chatzi nezek. So we were struggling yesterday with how to explain this case. Are we dealing with a case of a muad? Are we dealing with a case of a tam? So we saw yesterday the first explanation that we saw was that we were dealing with a case of a muad, and the machlokas and what Rav Yaakov meant when he said, what Rav Yaakov meant when he said chatzi nezek, was that you actually pay the chatzi nezek of a muad. In other words, the second half of the nezek that the animal owes because of the combination of shitas that we discussed yesterday of tzatamas bimkomo medes, and then we saw the machlokas whether or not we appoint an apotropos to be mishalei megufo the chatzi nezek that a tam is chayev to pay. But there was a shita in the Gemara that we had yesterday that the Gemara is going to come back to today, which is that Rav Yehuda and Rav Yaakov aren't cholek at all. That when Rav Yehuda says that he's chayiv and Rav Yaakov says chatzi nezek, that Rav Yaakov just comes to explain what Rav Yehuda meant when he said chayiv. And in that case, we were wondering, well, are we dealing with a case of muad or are we dealing with a case of tam? Because if we're dealing with a case of tam, what's the chiddush? Of course it's chatzi nezek, like a regular case of tam. So lamai, we might be dealing with a case of muad. So the Gemara in the beginning of the shir today, the very bottom of Lama Tesma Bey, is going into Mem Amad Aleph, is going to talk about that. The bulk of Mem Amad Aleph is going to be on the case of whether the apotropos who has to pay him in aliyah, if he is responsible for administering the estate of the yesomim or of the ktanim or of the cheresh or shota, that as a sharamuad, even though we say that the apotropos has to pay from the aliyah, there's a question of whether he has to pay kofar. So kofar is the fine; it's the 50 shekel fine that you have to pay when your ox gores and kills a person. If your ox kills a person, you have to pay 50 shekel, no matter what the person's value would be, to the extent we can ascribe a value to a person. So the question is, does the apotropos have to pay? And does the outcome of whether the apotropos has to pay or not, is that determined by whether kofar is considered to be mamon or kofar is considered to be kapara? So we'll see that in the Gemara. And then on the bottom of Mem Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to talk about what happens if you borrow an animal under the assumption that it's a certain type of shar, and it turns out to be another type of shar. What happens if you borrow an animal and you assume that it's a tam, and it comes out that the animal's actually a muad? So who's chayev for what? So that discussion continues onto Mem Amud Beis, and then at the bottom of the daf, we'll see whether we get to it or not. We start talking about the shor ha'tzadin, the shor that is trained to gore, that is used for entertainment in the arenas, and what halacha that has, whether that shor would be chayev for goring, or whether we say that it's really not the shor's fault because he is trained to gore like that. So we left off Lamates Amud Beis, the very end of the Amud, so three lines up from the bottom of the page. So Amar Le Rav Acha Bar Abaya La Ravina. So says Rav Acha Bar Abaya to Ravina, Bishlam Al Abaya, I understand the Amar Pligi, who says that Rav Yehuda and Rav Yaakov argue that when Rav Yehuda says Mechayev, he means that you're Chayev Kol Nezek, and when Rav Yaakov says Chatzi Nezek, he says that you're Chayev only, obviously, Chatzi Nezek Shapir. So I understand. El Rava the Amar Lo Pligi, but according to Rava was the one who said that when Rav Yehuda says Chayev, then Rav Yaakov is just coming to explain what Rav Yehuda meant, but he's not necessarily coming to be cholik on him. But what we said, if you recall from yesterday's shir, what we said in the Gemara was that we can't be talking about a case of a shor tam, because if we're talking about a case of a shor tam, then it's pasha that you pay for chatzi nezek. Zelamai, we have to be talking about a case of a shor muad. But if we're talking ademuki la b'muad nukme b'tam, but now what the Gemara is asking is why do we say that the case is talking about a shor muad? Let's say that the case is talking about a shor tam. And ila Rav Yehuda diavad le shmira p'chusa velo avad le shmira mu'ula. And according to Rav Yehuda, Let's say that we're dealing with a case that you did a Shmira Pchusa, you did the lesser Shmira, but you didn't do the more effective Shmira. Rashi explains what we're talking about here. So he says in the top, Rashi, Klomar, Ikur of Yudas Fira, Le Damar Le Kaiman. There's a Machlokas coming up that Tam Lo Sagi Le Bishmira Pchusa, Kivan Shavale, Kagon Shavale Shmira Pchusa. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, says that they're arguing there's a Machlokas in the Gemara, what sort of Shmira do you have to do in order to appropriately guard a short time? So Rav Yehuda says that you have to do more than a Shmira Pchusa. So if you, Rav Yehuda says that you have to do more than a Shmira Pchusa to guard a short time, and let's say you did more than a Shmira Pchusa, then if the short time does damage, you would be putter. Why? Because you did whatever you were supposed to do. So according to Rav Yehuda, says that you need more than a Shmira Pchusa, let's say that you did the Shmira Pchusa. In other words, you did an insufficient Shmira. And according to Rav Yaakov, and according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov back in the Gemara, Delova the Shmira Klal, because Rav Elazar ben Yaakov comes to say, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says in that machlokes that by a shor tam a shmira pchusa is enough. So if you did a shmira pchusa, then you would be potter for the damage caused by the shor tam. So if we're talking about a case of a shor tam where you're going to be chayav for the damage, we have to be talking about a case where you didn't even do a shmira pchusa according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So in order to basically what the Gemara is saying is that in order to establish liability for a shor tam, you have to have failed to have provided the minimum level of Shmira, whatever it is, according to the Machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rav Elazar and Rav Elazar and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Now says, Rashi explains over here that V'Isserich L'Rav Yaakov L'Shmina D'Mamidim Apatrapas L'Tam, and the Chiddush over here in dealing with a short Tam could be that we establish an apotropos for a short time. Ulahachi tana chatzi nezek v'lo tani Rav Yaakov mechayev stama delo tema b'muad kamay rivakula niska kamar aval b'tama filu palga niska nami lo dein mamidim. And says Rashi, so the chiddush is, in other words, that which we had thought was so obvious that it can't be Rav Yaakov's talking about a short time, because everybody knows that Rav Yaakov's taught, everybody knows that the halacha by a short time is chatzi nezek. So Rashi's explaining the Gemara's question is, what are you talking about? It's not at all pashat. Why? Because we saw machlokes, are we mamid in apotropos to enforce the payment of chatzi nezek megufo by a short time? Maybe that's what Rav Yaakov is coming to tell me. That's not at all pashat. Says, so back in the Gemara, D'Tanya, three lines down, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov omer, Echad tam ve'echad mu'at tishamram shmira p'chusa, Turin, that both a tam and a mua that you guard with a shmira pchusa, you're potter. So in other words, again, in order to establish liability for an act of goring done by a short tam, it has to be a situation where you didn't watch the shor at all. Now, what's the chiddush? Var kamash malon Rav Yaakov dema midim lema patrapos latam ligvos migufo, that we will appoint an apotropos to enforce collection of the chatzi nezek megufo, even by a short time, that gufa is the chiddush. Samarlei hachi kamar chada dispe tarti taima. That the reason that we deal with a shor muad and not by a short time is to teach me the following. It's to teach me that by a muad that it's enough for a shmira pchusa. That by a muad a shmira pchusa is enough. The ode, and also that the tzad tam is bimkomo medes. And then the second halacha that we teach us is that we appoint an apotropos to begova megufo shel tam. So in other words, basically what we're saying here is that if we talk about a muad, then we can establish the halacha, then we can learn out even another halacha from here. That we could learn out the level of shmira that's required for a short tam versus a shor amuad. And we could learn out the halacha mamidim apotropos on the short tam ligvos megufo. So how do we learn this again, like we saw yesterday? A shor muad is not considered to be a totally new animal. It's considered to be a half tam and a half muad. So if you have a different level of shmira that is applicable to the tam and applicable to the muad, and let's say, now obviously the best thing to do is just to go with the higher level of shmira and then you're totally potter. But let's say you didn't. Let's say you went with a shmira that's good for the shor muad but not good for the shor tam. So you needed a greater level of shmira for the shor tam. So then what happens is, let's say then the animal gores. So for the chatzi nezek, applicable to the Shar Mu'ad, you'd be Pater because you did a good Shmirah. For the Chatzi Nezek of the Shar Tam, you didn't do a good Shmirah. So when you combine the fact that a Shar Mu'ad equals Shar Tam plus, and the fact that we appoint an apotropos, that gets you the Chatzi Nezek that you pay. That's why he talks about a case of Mu'ad, because you teach me more Kedushim, you teach me more Halachas. Ravina Amar, Ravina says that Rishus Mishana Ika Benayu, that the Machlokes is that the Machlokes has to do with whether Rishus Mishana. So says the Gemara. So Kivan Davi Muad Vinispaka Chakeresh Vinishtape Hashota Vigdil Akotan, that Rav Yehuda Savar Areyu Bechazkaso. So in other words, the Machlokes Rav Yehuda and Rav Yaakov doesn't have to do with the level of Shemira. It doesn't have to do with Tzad Tamas Bim Koma Medes. It does not have to do with whether we're Mamed and Apotropos to be Gova Chatzi Nezek Megufa. What it has to do is with Rishus Mishana. The Rav Yehuda says that if it was a Muad in the hands of the Chereshot of a Katan, and then the Chereshot of a Katan is either cured or grows up, the Rav Yehuda says, Arei b'chazkaso, it retains its chazaka because Rishus is not Mishana. Rav Yaakov Savar, Rishus Mishana. Rav Yaakov says that it's Chazar Latamusa because Rishus Mishana. Shini Rishus affects a change in the status of the animal itself. Now, says the Gemara Vayter, Tana Rabbanan, Apatrapsin Mishalmin Min Ha'aliyah, the apotropsin have to be Mishalim Min Ha'aliyah Ve'ina Mishalim Kofar. And they don't pay, Kofar if the Shor actually kills a person. So the Chatzi Nezek Shalem, that happens, Mishalim Megufa, Mishalim Min Ha'aliyah, that happens if the Shor gores another Shor and kills the other Shor. What happens if the Shor gores a person? Then again, Medine Torah, Yechayev Kofar, Yechayev to pay Kofar, but the Apotropos doesn't pay Kofar. So Mantana, Kofra Kapara, Mantana, so who's this Tana? Kofra Kapara, it's the man the Yomar who says that Kofar is a Kapara payment. It's not a monetary payment. It's rather a Kapara for the owner of the ox that killed the other man. V'yasbi lav b'nei Kapara neinu, and Yisomim, we saw in Rashi yesterday, they're lav b'nei mitzvah, and therefore they don't require a Kapara. So if Kofar is a Kapara, and the Yisomim don't require a Kapara, that's why the Apotropos doesn't pay Kofar. The Rishonim are Medayin over here. Okay, good, so the Apotropos doesn't have to pay Kofar, else the Yisomim. In other words, the Yisomim aren't chayiv in a Kofar payment because they're not b'nei Kapara. But the Apotropos, Lechora, also, he didn't do his job, right? Because if he was doing his job, the animal wouldn't have been goring people. So why was he not chayiv a Kofar payment for himself, for his own Kapara? So the Rishonim struggled to figure out why he wouldn't be chayiv that sort of payment. So says the Gemara Vayter, Samar Rav Chista, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokai. It's Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokai. D'tanya ben Nosan Pidyo Nafsho, that he has to give the Demei Pidyo Nafsho, Demei Nizak, that is the Demei Nizak. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokai, Amar Demei Mazik. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokai says that when you give the kofar payment, and you are assessing the kofar payment, how much you have to pay, what the amount of the kofar payment is. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokai says that you assess it on the basis of how much the mazik is worth. And in other words, what you do is the basic procedure for this, because obviously, like, it's very difficult to assess human life. We believe that, you know, there is really no value on human life. But what you do is you take the person to the slave, or you can't take the person, maybe, because if it's according to the Nizik, then the Nizik's already dead. But you take what the person was. So this person is 5'10", and he's 180 pounds, and he's super strong, and he's 35 years old, so he's in the prime of his career, so to speak. So how much would he fetch on the slave market? And however much he would fetch on the slave market is a proxy for how much you have to pay in kofar. Now, so what they would do is they would assess either the mazik or the nizak. So it turns out, if they're assessing the nizak, then it's more in the nature of compensation. Your shor caused this person to die. You're assessing the payment based on how much the deceased is worth on the slave market, and you have to pay that amount to his estate. It's more like a monetary payment. It's like a compensation or a reimbursement. If, however, you measure the kofar damages on the basis of how much the mazik is worth on the slave market, then it turns out that it's more like a kapara. What's the purpose of my payment? The purpose of my payment is I'm giving over the payment to be mechaper for what Maishor did. So who is the Man D'Amar who says that that Kofar is Kapara, and therefore the Apotropos doesn't have to pay because the Yisomer Marlav B'nei Kapara Neinu? It's Rabbi Shmuel Ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, who says that we measure the Kofar payment on the basis of what the mazik is worth, and because he's basically paying his own ransom, so it's really very much like a kapara. So my laba kamifligi, the rabbanan sabri kofar mamona. The rabbanan say kofar is mamon, therefore you assess it based on the value of the nizak. And Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka over kofar kapara, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says that kofar is kapara, and therefore You assess it on the basis of the value of the mazik. Zamra papa lo de kuliyam kofre kaparahu. Everybody holds kofre is kapara. And this is what they're arguing about. Rabbanan savri b'dinizik shaminan. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka savri b'dinmazik shaminan. Don't try to say that it's dafka Rabbi Shmuel who holds that kofre is kapara as opposed to the chachamim. Everybody agrees that kofar is a kapara. The question is, you have to pay some sort of payment as ransom for yourself in order to affect the kapara. The machlokas is simply, well, whose value are we using to assess the size of this kapara payment? Is it the value of the nizik or is it the value of the mazik? But everybody would agree that kofar is a kapara. So my time is Rabbanan. So what's the reason of the Rabbanan? So the reason of Rabbi Shmuel is simple, right? The reason of Rabbi Shmuel is simple is because kofar is considered to be a kapara. And when you're paying a payment to be mechaper yourself, you're paying a ransom for yourself. So you're doing it based on your own worth. But according to the Chachamim, if kofar is a kapara, why are we paying it based on the value of the nizak? That doesn't really make too much sense. So says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Because Nemra Shisa Lamata, it says the word Shisa, it says in Kofar, Yushas Alav Lagabe Kofar. Venemra Shisa Lamala, and it also says Shisa Lamala by, but it also says Shisa Lamala by Deme Vlados, where people are in a fight, and then mistakenly one of them hits a woman, and they cause the woman to miscarry. And it says Shisa, it says a lashon of Shisa over there as well. That Malahalam Bedinizak, Afkam Bedinizak, just like over there, we measure the amount that the assailant has to pay by the value of the fetus. So it's the fetus is considered to be the nizak. So too over here, we measure the amount of kofar that the guy has to pay based on the value of the nizak. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka savar, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka will hold v'nosam pidyon nafsho k'siv, that it says pidyon nafsho, and pidyon nafsho is mashma that we measure it based on his own value. That's why it's pidyon nafsho. The Rabbanan in pidyon nafsho k'siv, the Rabbanan will say yes, it is a pidyon nafsho. It is a kapara. It's a ransom for him. But miu kishaminan, but then isek shaminan. However, when we ultimately evaluate how much the payment is, when we evaluate the size of the payment, we are going to evaluate it based on the value of the nizak, not on the value of the mazik. So now the Gemara switches gears a little bit. So Meshabeach le Rava, l'Rav Nachman, brother of Acha bar Yaakov. So Rava was telling Rav Nachman about the virtues of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the Adam Gadalu, that he was a great Talmud Chacham. So Amar le, so Rav Nachman said, when Rav Acha bar Yaakov comes to you, Rav Avi Eliyadi, bring him to me. I wanna see for myself what a great Talmud Chacham he is. So Kiyosel Agabe, when he came to him, so Amar Lei, Boy Minay Milsa. So he says, ask me a question. So Boy Minay, so he asked him the following question. Shor Shol Shnei Shutfin. You have a shor that's owned by partners. So Ketzem Shalman Kofar. Let's say that shor gores a person and kills him. How would we assess the kofar payment that the owners of the shor have to pay to the estate of the deceased? So Ketzem Shalman Kofar. So Mishalim High Kofar of a High Kofar. Is each of the partners responsible to pay a full kofar payment? Well, kofar echad amarachmanav loshnei kofrin. That can't be, because when we say the parsha of kofar, we know that the owner is mechayev only to pay once, not to pay twice. So haichatzi kofar vaichatzi kofar. What then? Should each person pay half the payment so that in the aggregate they make up a complete kofar payment? Well, that doesn't make sense either, because kofar sholem amrachman of alochatzi kofar. The only payment that we hear of that people have to make is a full kofar payment and not a half a kofar payment. So it would turn out that in the case of a shor that's owned by Shutfin that gores and kills somebody, we're stuck. We don't know what to do with the kofar. We can't make them both pay. We can't make then pay each half. So what do? Sadi Yosef v'kama ayimba. So Rav Nachman was thinking over that kasha, which was really a good kasha. The Rav Achar bar Yaakov asked, and Amar Lei. Then he said, Tanan chayove erich chayove erichin. So then Rav Achar bar Yaakov wasn't done. He kept going with another question. Chayove erichin memashkenoso. Let's say if a person makes an erich vow, so he vows to give his value, and this is in the Torah. So the person's value depends on whether he's male or female, and also how old he is. So the older you get, until a certain point, the value goes up, and then when you hit, then I think then your value starts to go down, and the value of a male decreases more than the value of a female proportionally, because an older male is worthless, whereas an older female still has some sort of utility around the house. That's what, probably right. So it says, Chayav Erechim Mashkenoso. Let's say a guy makes an Erech vow to the Beis HaMikdash. So in order to make sure that he fulfills his vow, we take collateral from him. We're going to take security from him. Chayav Echatos Vashomos Eim Mashkenoso. Let's say if a guy owes a Chatos or an Asham Karban, then we don't have to take security from him. Why? Because, and the Gemara is going to explain why. So the Gemara is going to explain why in each case when we discuss what the halacha is by kofre. So chayev kofre mai. Let's say that the guy owns an ox that gores and kills somebody, and now he's chayev to make a kofre payment. So will we take collateral from him to make sure that he satisfies his obligation to make the kofre payment or not? So what are the two tzadim over here? So keeping the kapara, who, if you want to say that kofar is a kapara, kichatos vi asham dami, it's like a carbon chatos and a carbon asham, and michmer chomri ilavei v'lo boy mishkenei. And therefore, it's going to be chomer on him, and for the same reason that we don't require you to take collateral to secure the obligation to bring a chatos or an asham, which is because a person, those karbanos are for the purpose of kapara, and a person's going to want kapara, therefore, he'll take the obligation seriously, and we don't have to take collateral to enforce the payment. So to kofar, if it's a kapara, a person's going to take the obligation to pay kofar seriously so that he gets a kapara, and we won't have to take collateral to secure the payment. Oh, Dilma, given the lechavriu de boy, misvilei mamonu velo ligvoahu velo chamer aleyu uboy mashkenei. Or maybe that after all, since it's a payment that's owed to another person and not a payment that's owed to the Beis HaMikdash, it's not a payment that's owed toward a karban, therefore maybe it doesn't have the halacha of a karban and is not going to be as machmer with it, and therefore you would have to take collateral to secure payment of the obligation. So inami kivan dehu lo chato mamonahu de azik lo chamer milsei ilavei or bo amashkenei. Or maybe another reason why it won't be so chamer is because he's going to think, well, you know, it's not, I didn't sin, it's not, I didn't do a sin. In other words, when I'm chayev a karban chatos or a karban asham, it's because the guy personally did a sin. He did an avera, and he's chayev a karban, he's chayev a kapara to be mechaper for that avera. But if a year when his ox gored somebody and killed somebody else, it's a big tragedy, but the guy's going to rationalize, well, it wasn't really me, I didn't really do anything, my animal did it, he's only my possessions, he's in my control, but it's not me. So he's going to rationalize, and therefore he's going to try to weasel out of making the payment, and therefore maybe you would have to take collateral to secure payment of this obligation. So says the said Rav Nachman. So Amar Lei Shafkan Itzkar B'Kamaisa. Stop it already with these questions. I'm already stupefied by your first question, which was the question about the ox that was owned by Shutfin, how you would pay the kofar. So what he was saying, in other words, he was moda that Rav Acha was an Adam Gadol, and that he was a Chacham because he stooped him. He was stooped even by the first question. The Aruch explains over here that Rav Nachman actually got sick because he was so distraught that he couldn't answer. He couldn't even answer the first question, and that's what he means by the lashon of istagar bekamaisa. Rashi just says, you know, ne'alamti, that I was silenced because I didn't have anything to ask. Not that he got sick; it's just that he didn't have anything to answer because it was such a bomb kasha. So okay, so Rav Acha bar Abba proved that he was a great Talmud Chacham. So says the Gemara Vayter, three lines down in the medium lines over here. So Tanu Rabbanan, Shalu b'cheskas tam v'nimtza mu'ad. If a person borrows an animal under the chazak, under the assumption that the animal is a short tam, it turns out that it's a short mu'ad. So let's say the animal then gores and is chayev nezek shalem. So the owner has to pay chatzi nezek, and the shoel, the borrower, has to pay chatzi nezek. Why does the borrower have to pay chatzi nezek? Because the borrower assumed that it was a short tam, and therefore you're not going to be mechayev him for more than the liability that he assumed he was taking on himself. But obviously the animal, somebody is chayev to pay nezek shalim here, and therefore the original owner is going to step in for the other half of the nezek. So borrower pays half, owner pays half. Good. Huad bebe shoel v'chziru labailim. Now let's say the animal, let's say the borrower had the animal for a certain amount of time, and then the animal became a mu'ah, then the borrower returned the animal to the lender. So then, v'chziru labailim, and then it gores again. So ba'al mishalom and chatzi nezek v'shol potter miklum. Well, now the ba'al is only going to have to pay chatzi nezek as if it were a short tam. The Gemara is going to explain this. Mandi Amar obviously holds that shinui rishus works a reset basically of the status of a shor, and therefore the shor is no longer considered to be a muad once it goes back to the rishus of the ba'alim. And the shoel is going to be putter altogether, because he no longer has any business with this ox. He's not responsible for watching it anymore, so why is he going to be chayiv? So the Gemara says, Amar Mar, let's think about this a little bit more. Shoel b'cheskas tam v'nimtza mu'ad, if the borrower borrows it under the assumption that it's a tam and it turns out to be a mu'ad, so b'aylem mishalem min chatzi nezek v'shoel chatzi nezek. So the b'aylem, the original owner, pays half, and the shoel pays half. V'amai lemelei tura she'ili aryeh. Why does the borrower have to pay anything? Let him say, I borrowed an ox. I didn't borrow a lion. In other words, I didn't accept upon myself the greater level of shmira that would be required here, because I thought I was borrowing a shartam who had zero track record of goring. And you know, how much shmira do I have to apply to a shor who has no track record of violence? But it turns out that it was a shor muad, and a shor muad is, it's a dangerous animal, and I have to put a lot more into guarding it. I didn't bargain for this. Lav dafka that you have to guard it like a lion, but basically you have to be more vigilant of a shor muad than you are of a shor tam to make sure that it doesn't gore again. So says the Gemara, Amarav, Hachav Mayaskina Shehikar Bashu Nagchan. That you realize that it was a Nagchan. So Rashi says, what does this mean? We're not talking about when you borrow the short tom, it was a short tom that never gored. I said that before purposely. We're dealing with a short tom that gored. So you were makabel upon yourself some shmira. In the beginning of the shir today, we were discussing the level of shmira that's good for a short tom, that's required for a short muad. That's when the animal has a track record of goring. You realize that it's prone to goring, even though it's not yet reached the status of a shor muad. So the borrower can't say, well, I never was makabel upon myself the extra level of shmira. No, bogus, you were makabel on yourself a level of shmira, because you knew the animal was at least a shor tam, and so you should have watched it at least like that, and therefore when it gores, you're chayev chatzi nezek. So says the Gemara, v'nei malei tam shili muad lo shili, but why can't he say, but still, I didn't get my bargain. I thought I was getting a short tam. You gave me a short muad, so I didn't get what I bargained for over here. So says the Gemara, mishum damarle, sof, itamavi, palganezek, palganiska boy shlume, hashanami zil shlim palganiska. Well, we could say, what difference does it make to you? You thought you were getting a short tam, and now it turns out that you got a short muad, so you knew it was a nagchan, so you had to watch it anyway. You didn't watch it. If it was a short tam and a gourd, you'd be chayiv and chatzi nezek. And now I'm being mechayiv you and chatzi nezek. So what's the big deal over here? It doesn't make a difference to you. So v'nemalei, so why doesn't he say itam avi mishalei megufo? That he could say, of course it makes a difference to me. The chatzi nezek that I have to pay because it's a shor muad, says the shoel, is chatzi nezek min aliyah. That let's say if the damage totaled $100 and the chatzi nezek is $50, well then the $50 that you could collect from the shoel, you could collect even from his choice property. Whereas if it were a short tam, you would only collect megufo. So the shoel says, so I'm out then money because he's collecting me aliyah, not me gufo. because if it's Migufo, it's not really my problem, says the Shoel, because it's the Mashil's animal. Says the Gemara, Demarle, Sof Sof, Atlo Tura Boy Shlumili Didi. What are you talking about? So if it would have been a payment Migufo, then it would have been better for you? Let's say you would have paid Migufo, okay? So you would have given the Guf Ashor to the damaged party, but you borrowed the ox, you genius. Now you have to give it back to the Ma, you have to give it back to the lender. What are you going to give back to the lender? You're going to have to pay the lender $50 to defray the cost of the, to basically subsidize him for the cost of the animal that you gave away. So net to you, Shoel, it doesn't make a difference whether you're paying Megufo or whether you're paying Me'aliyah. So says the Gemara, V'nemalei, but why don't we say, V'nemalei im tamu modina maftarina. Now, if it's a short time and you're only paying chatzi nezek, then maybe what I could have done, says the Shoel, is I could have been modeh that the ox gored, and then I would have been potter. Why? Because chatzi nezek is a knas, and modeh b'knas is going to be potter. Tosfa says that this is only according to the Man D'Amar, who says that modeh b'knas v'achakach bo edim is potter, because of here we're talking about where Edom come and they testify about the goring. So if you're going to say that Modeh b'knas v'achakach bo Edom is chayev, then his taina wouldn't work, because even if he was Modeh, he would still be chayev. But let's say he could have said, I'd be Modeh and then I'd be Potter. V'afilu man yamar palganiska mamona. That's good if you want to say that palganiska, the chatzi nezek is knas, then I could apply the principle of Modeh b'knas Potter. What if chatzi nezek is mamon? In that case, how could he have gotten out of the obligation to pay? So neimalei itamu havemarikna leila agma. Because he could say that if it was a short time and the payment would only be megufo, I could have driven the ox out to the agam, to the swamp where nobody could find it. And if nobody could find the ox, then nobody could enforce collection of the chatzi, of the chatzi nezek payment. Says Tosfos, I don't understand what you're talking about over here. You're saying that this guy could have made all these crazy claims, but Tosfos on the second Tosfos on the page says Tema Matayne Hizeh Imkain Hayosa Shelo Kedin. You're doing Shelo Kedin. It's not justice if your ox gores. You know that it's chayev to pay chatzi nezek migufo. So what do? So you go hide the ox in your garage so that the authorities can't come and find it. Well, what kind of taina is this? According, so remember we saw machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva that when you have an ox that gores, so is the mazik considered to be a bal? So is the mazik, is there a balchov relationship, or does the nizak have like a mamish a shutfus in the ox? So Rabbi Shmuel said it's a balchov. He stam owes the nizak money. Rabbi Akiva said it was like a shutfus relationship. So says Tosfos, I understand according to Rabbi Shmuel, says it is balchov ninu nichaksas dikol meimar davi achal nale hasam amazvina le velo havi ela kamazik shibuda shal chavero, because the guy could claim, look, eventually I'm going to have to do something with the ox, I'm going to sell it, and once I liquidate the ox, all right, once I convert the ox into liquid assets, you're a balchov of mine, so I'm going to come and pay you. But upoter, so that, but aval Rabbi Akiva demar shufininu iave marik avik gozale shorol nizak. If we pass like Rabbi Akiva, if we hold like Rabbi Akiva that the nizak and the mazik become shutfin, so what in the world do you mean that the mazik could go spirit the ox away to the swamp and keep it hidden in the swamp? He is taking an ox that belongs partially to the nizak, and he's running away with it. He's basically stealing it. He's stealing the ox of his friend. Vio de Basin Yandu Imlo Yeshalim Im Yeshlo. Basin's gonna put him in Khairam also. Vinurli Sharot Silomar Mitok Dvaram Elu Shayisi Ose Hainizik Mispasher Imi Bedavar Muat Vaya Mocholi Vinimsa Shef Sidani Kola Yisron. So basically Tosaf says what he means is as follows. I'm not saying that I could have gotten away with all this, because I couldn't have gotten away with all this. But what I could have done is I could have made collection very difficult. And because the mazik and because the nizik knows that I could have made collection very difficult, he's going to bargain with me. All right, so I'm going to go over to him and say, "Hey, chatzi nezek, it's $50. You want your $50? But I could do this, that, the third thing, and then the nizik is going to settle with him for $35 because he's going to want the money up front without any of this drama." Says Tosfos, that's what all this means. Not that he would actually do it, but that he could have claimed that he would do it, and he could have driven basically the cost of the payment down, and therefore what the Shoel could say to the Mashil was that, what the Shoel could say to the Mashil is that I could have done all this stuff, and now the fact that I have to pay chati nezek, a full chati nezek, that's causing me a loss, because I otherwise could have pulled these shenanigans and minimized the amount that I have to pay. So halacha b'maaskin kogan akta medina v'tafsei. Well, over here we're talking about a case where Basin acted first, and Basin was toface the animal. Basin was toface the shore. Now the guy can't claim anything. He can't claim I would have denied it. Basin already has the shore. He can't claim I would have taken it to the swamp. You can't. Basin already has the shore. So Yachi, Bailam Amai Mishalman Chatsi Nezek. In that case, why does the Bailam pay Chatsi Nezek? So Neimale Itfase Litaroi Bide Mandalo Matsina Lishayu Edina Bahade. So why does the Baal pay Chatsi Nezek? He could say, listen, you caused my ox to be given over into the hands of somebody with whom I can't litigate. In other words, you are the one who caused my ox to be seized by Basin. So why should I have to pay anything? So Mishum Damar Le, Yadarta Ne'elech, Lahminei Avashakli Le. So because the Shoal can answer him, really, you think it's something that I did that caused your ox to be placed in the possession of somebody, i.e. Basin, with whom you can't litigate? Whether it was in my possession, or let's say if I returned it to you, Basin would have come to your house, and the marshal would have repossessed your ox. So what difference does it make whose possession it's in? Well, now the Bailam can say, well, Shoel, if you would have returned it to me, maybe I would have been the smart guy, and I would have taken it to the agam. I would have taken it to the swamp. So Mishum Damarle, Sof Sof Lav Mi Ali Ave Mishalume. Well, remember, we're talking about a Shor Muad, and we're talking about the Chatsi Nezek that each of the folks here have to pay. But the Shor Muad, the damage is paid Mi Aliyah. Good. So let's say the Shoal would have returned the ox to the owner, and the owner would have taken the ox to the Agam, and it was before Basin had a chance to be Tofesit. But still, you have to pay Mi Aliyah. So what difference does it make that you're hiding the ox? You have to pay the value of the Nezek anyway. Says the Gemara, V'honi Chadis Le Nichse. Well, okay, you're right. That's a good response if the guy has other nechassim. But if the guy doesn't have any other nechassim, then it's a good taina that the Bailam could say, look, I would have hid the ox, then I would basically be collection proof. Just like I'm a shubit to you, the Bailam, to give the ox back, I'm also a meshubah to the nizak to pay him, mid Rav Nasan. Titanya, Rav Nasan Omer, minayin lenosha b'chaber amana v'chaber b'chabero, minayin shematzien mizeh v'nosan lezeh, tamalomar v'nasan la'asher asham lo. So the shibud is Rav Nasan, basically, if A owes B and B owes C, then A could pay directly to C. So here it's a case where the shoel owes the bailim, but the shoel and the bailim collectively owe the nizak. So shibud is Rav Nasan, instead of the shoel paying the bailim, the shoel pays directly to the nizak, and the bailim can't have a taina to that, because that's the way shibudah derav nosan. That's the way shibudah derav nosan works. So okay, so says the Gemara now, Viter, a different case. So who had bebe shoel? If it became a muad in the shoel's possession, bechzira lebailam, and then you return it to the bailam, so bailam shalman chatzi nezek, the bailam pay chatzi nezek, v'shoel pater miklum, and the shoel doesn't pay anything. So seifa reshus mishana. So by the seifa, obviously we're talking about where reshus mishana, and that's why when it goes back to the possession of the owner has to pay chatzi nezek, because even though it was a tam in the possession of the shoel, even though it was a muad in the possession of the shoel, it goes back to its status as a tam in the possession of the bailam. That's why the bailam has to pay chatzi nezek. But reisha reshus ena mishana. But in the reisha where the guy borrowed it pecheska shutam, and it turns out that it's a muad, we said that the baal pays chatzi nezek and the shoel pays chatzi nezek, meaning that it retains its status as a muad even after the bailim gives it to the shoel. So the question is, why? Isn't that a shinu reshus? And that should reset the clock also, so that it becomes a short time again. So in the reisha, it's mashma that reshus is ena mashana. So Some Rav Yochanan says Rav Yochanan Tavra, you're right, it's a stira, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu, that you have to say that the Mandiyamar who learned the Reisha of the Mishnah is not the same as the Mandiyamar who learned the Seif of the Mishnah. Rabba Amar Midereisha Rishus Eda Mishana. Rabba says, no, I could reconcile the two parts of the Mishnah. Midereisha Rishus Eda Mishana, from the fact that in the Reisha, when it goes from the Bilam to the Shoal, Rishus does not reset the animal status as a Tam. Seif Anami Rishus Eda Mishana. In the Seif as well, the Shina Rishus from the Shoel back to the Bilim, also Rishus is Eina Mashana. The Seifa Hainu Taima Mishum. Now, in that case, in the Seifa, why does the owner only have to pay Chatzi Nezek? It appears that Rishus is Mashana. It appears that it is changing from a Muad to a back to a Tam. So the Seifa Hainu Taima Mishum to Amarle Lav Kol Kaminoch Miadatele Litaroi. It's because the Bilim can say that you lack the power to cause my animal to attain the status of a muad. Why? Rashi says, Lo shalchai, it's not yours, v'lenas harta b'shmira, so you are not zorin at shmira. That's why I was able to gore this number of times. But you lack the power to cause me a loss now and to cause my animal to become a shur muad. Rapapa Ram, the Sefer Rishus Mashana, from the fact that in the Sefer we're dealing with the situation or with the assumption that Rishus Mashana, that Shinu Rishus changes the status of the animal. Resha Nami Rishus Mashana. I have a Resha Anataima. In that case, in the Resha, why does the owner still have to pay half of it? It should be Rishus Mashana, and it should go back to having the status of a short tam. Says the Gemara, Mishum Dechol Makom Sholech Shem Baila V'Lav, because that's not a Shini Rishus. When the owner loans it to the borrower, that's not considered to be a Shini Rishus, because if somebody borrows somebody else's ox, let's say it's translated into modern day, if somebody borrows somebody else's car, people know and they recognize the car, so people know so-and-so is borrowing the other guy's car. In other words, it's not a shini rishus, because it's not as if it actually changes. When it goes back to the bailam, that's a little bit more of a shini rishus. All right, let's go a little bit weiter. Shor et studen, ein chaya misa. So a shor et studen, a shor of an arena, is not chaya misa. So yiboylu. So ma'al legabe mizbeach. Can it be brought on the Mizbeach? So can it be brought as a carbon? Says Rashi, Shagabe Nogech, Barasun, Vehim Isodam, Shitel and the Apostle, Kedil Kaman. Because by an animal who gores purposely, we know that it is possible for a carbon. But what about a Shoret Staden that doesn't gore purposely? That's just the way it was trained. Rav Amar Kosher, Shmuel Amar Apostle. Rav says it's Kosher as a carbon, Shmuel says it's possible. Rav Amar Kosher, Rav says it's Kosher Onesu, he says it's an Ones. Shmuel Amar Apostle, Arei Nevad Ba'Avera. So Shmuel says it's going to be puzzle because an avera was done with the animal. So let's stop here, because I don't think we're going to get all the way to the next two dots. So we'll pick up over here with this discussion of Shor HaEtz Taden, God willing, in the beginning of tomorrow's shir.